Would you turn with me for the next image to Mark chapter 14, Mark 14 verses 12 through 26. And with this image, we're going to meditate on it a little bit more because it's what we will be participating in immediately following our meditation, the Lord's Supper. Mark 14 verses 12 through 26. Beginning at verse 12. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Would you join me in prayer? Jesus, as we come in the midst of this passion and on this Friday that we call good only because of what you did for us, we pray that you would also shed light on the parable-like actions that you took in taking the Jewish Passover meal, the meal of celebrating salvation, and giving it to us as a special celebration of salvation in you. Help us to understand the meaning of it, so that we partake with open eyes and with open hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There were times in a prophet's ministry when words were not adequate to make the point. So he resorted to dramatically symbolic actions. Jeremiah, for example, went around Jerusalem wearing an oxen yoke and proclaiming the coming of captivity. Ahijah tore his robe in 12 pieces, giving 10 to Jeroboam to signify the split of Israel and Judah. Hosea married a prostitute. Ezekiel shaved his head and beard, divided his hair into 3 mounds. The first he burned, the second he struck with a sword, and the third he scattered to the wind to prophesy Israel's future. Few agreed with him, but you can imagine no one forgot bald Zeke. Jesus, the ultimate prophet of Israel, then was following prophetic tradition when, during the feast with his disciples, he dramatically reinterpreted the Passover and instituted a radical new observance for his followers. Like the prophets, Jesus combined word and symbol to convey this new meaning. So let's look at that for just a few moments before we partake in this new meal that Jesus has given to us. How Jesus did this is apparent from the order of the Passover ritual and how Jesus departed from it in 2 ways. One commentator gives us the background. When the meal was completely laid out before them, with the roast lamb as the centerpiece, the host, in this case Jesus, interpreted each of the foods on the table as it related to their deliverance from Egypt. The bitter herbs recalled their bitter slavery. The stewed fruit, by its color and consistency, recalled the misery of making bricks for Pharaoh. The roasted lamb brought to their remembrance the lamb's blood applied to the doorposts, their eating of the lamb within the house, and the death angels passing over them as it destroyed the firstborn of Egypt. With that explanation complete, Jesus sat erect from his reclining position, took a piece of unleavened bread, and pronounced this blessing, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, melech haolam, hamatzi lechem min haaretz. Blessed are you, O Lord, King of the universe, for giving us bread from the earth. The disciples responded, Amen. Then Jesus broke the bread and handed it in silence around the table. And during the silence, Jesus shattered the Passover ritual with the radical words of verse 22, Take it, this is my body. With this, the disciples soberly ate the sacred meal. The earlier prediction of betrayal and now Jesus' astounding command left them speechless. The meal complete, Jesus then took up the third of the four cups of the Passover. They had a name for each of them. And this particular cup, the third, was called the cup of deliverance or the cup of salvation. It was the one most closely linked with God saving his people from Egypt. Jesus rose and repeated the traditional charge, speak praises to our God, to whom belongs what we have eaten. And the disciples would have responded, praise be to God for the food we have eaten. And then the prayer, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pari hagafen. Blessed are you, O Lord, King of the universe, who gives us the fruit of the vine. Then in silence, Jesus passed the common cup with the startling words of verse 24. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Jesus' new words in this old ritual of the Passover introduced now the use of old symbols for a new supper. Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 says that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper for all times as a remembrance meant to explain to us Christ and our salvation in him. Thus, the Lord's table is an acted parable. So let's consider what Jesus' words and symbols mean. First, the meaning of the bread. The bread is not literally Jesus' body. The Jewish disciples, with their history of parable-like acts and symbolic expressions, would understand Jesus was speaking figuratively. The bread referred to the life of Christ. In the incarnation at Bethlehem, literally house of bread, Christ, the self-described bread of life, took on human body. The bread represents Christ's body and his life. In that body, he demonstrated divine life by living sinlessly, perfectly. In that body, he bore our sins on the cross, the avenue of our salvation. In that body, he triumphed over the grave and death and Satan by coming back to life. And he now lives in that glorified body in heaven and will one day return. But we are also members of his body. And as members of his body, we share in that life. Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:16 says, Is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? So this evening, partaking symbolizes our real participation in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. However, Paul goes on, because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. So the Lord's table also promotes the communion of saints. Through Christ's body, we participate with each other. We meet Christ in the bread, but we also meet each other in the bread. So what are we announcing this evening to the world around us as we partake of the bread? That we are partakers in the life of Christ. that we have really received and participate in that life, and that we also have chosen through Jesus to participate in the life of each other as well. Our partaking is more than just an announcement, however. It's an invitation for others to partake as well. It's meant to make those around us hungry for what we have in Christ. And then there's also the cup. Obviously, the redness of the wine or juice represents Jesus Christ's atoning blood. His blood is the blood of the new covenant. The old covenant was symbolized by the shedding of blood of a sacrificial lamb. First, as they left Egypt and put the lamb's blood on the doorpost so the angel of death passed over them, later on a routine basis in the temple. But Jesus' blood sealed a new covenant by which people would be saved by resting their faith in his atoning blood. So the bones of the Passover lamb on the table, the aroma of sacrifice in the air around Jerusalem, Jesus' words confirm the prophecy of John the Baptist. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The cup is meant to drive home to us who believe the objective fact of our salvation. Not subjective, not that we simply believe we are saved, but objective, that as surely as we drink the cup, so surely Jesus did shed his blood for our sins. As John Calvin once said, and I paraphrase, when you see the symbols, you can know the truth of what Christ did for us. Why would God give us the symbols except to assure us of the truth of our salvation? And so as we take the cup this evening, we will benefit most by saying in our hearts, yes, I really am forgiven, and resting in that objective fact. You know, in John 6, after Jesus had fed the 5,000 with bread from heaven and called himself the bread of life, he said, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them." Having eternal life involves a real partaking of Christ through faith. And this is best understood, according to Jesus, through the rather indelicate metaphor of ingesting his body and blood. We must truly feed on Christ, or there is no life. He must be as real and useful to us daily as is our daily food and drink. He's absolutely indispensable. And so in taking the Lord's Supper, we proclaim several things. First, we proclaim our sin, that apart from Christ's redemptive blood, we are eternally separated from God. In taking the Lord's Supper, we proclaim our faith. We believe in the death, resurrection, exaltation, and bodily return of Jesus. In taking the Lord's Supper, we proclaim our dependence, not independence, but our dependence, that without him we cannot live and we dare not die. And in taking the Lord's Supper, we proclaim our hope, that Jesus' words of verse 25 are true when he said, "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." That this supper points ahead also to our celebration of the messianic banquet with him in his kingdom when we live with him eternally. Let's celebrate that supper that Jesus was so careful to explain and to illustrate for us. First, let's come to God in prayer. Jesus, we thank you for giving yourself and for explaining in such a tangible way what it means that we gather around a table as a communion of saints and in communion with you. And we pray that as we do that now, that you would accept our praise, that you would work in our hearts as we meditate on what we're doing, and that you would feed us so that we might be encouraged for another day and another week. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.